You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
New downtown.
All righty, we're back. We're live. It's Wake Up Tucson, 10:30. The Voice, Sean McCluskey. Yeehaw. And Jonathan Hoffman sitting in for the double secret agent, Christy Simone.
Where is that man?
Yeah, who knows?
He's probably, like I said, government affairs somewhere. He could be in a casino.
He is on a secret mission is where he is.
I went to the Secret Garden when I was in Vegas.
With a suit.
Whoa, I want to hear about that.
It was, so
I want to see pictures of that.
They were all over Facebook.
Oh, it was, I try to stay away from
Siegfried
that.
And Roy's exhibit with all their retired and new young lions and leopards and all that fun stuff.
Beautiful.
And then they got the dolphin exhibit, and it was just really cool because I've got two of the biggest dogs in Tucson, pretty much.
Yes.
And Tank, he's 6'4" on his hind legs. He stands 38 inches tall or something. He's not huge by any means, but Great Danes go 47 inches tall. So he, come on in. He is, he's just big. When I saw the Svengali, the tiger that Siegfried had, this giant 700-pound animal sauntered in front of me, no bigger than Tank, except the fact that his arms were the size of mine and his body was the size of mine and his head was the size of mine, and this thing's 700 pounds, but it walked within 3 feet of me. It was absolutely fantastic. It was just mesmerizing. I had chills. And then Siegfried was over and he was talking to one of the trainers.
Is he still there?
He is. And he came out and girlfriend and him got a picture together. So Ashley and him got a picture. It was kind of neat. We got to talk to him for a few minutes and didn't mention Roy at all because
in
2003 he got mauled or something.
Yeah, you don't want to bring that up.
Yeah, no. We didn't ask where he was.
People should never do that.
No. Yeah. Well, but not everybody's intelligent enough not to ask the ignorant question.
Have you ever seen their show?
Yes.
When they were
on TV though,
not
live.
No, I saw it live. It's at the Mirage,
yes.
Right? It was incredible. They made the elephant disappear. I mean, the whole thing. It was, these guys are amazing.
Yeah, no, it was really
just
good.
A wonderful sight to see if you ever had a chance.
Yeah. Got to see Fluffy while I was there. If you don't know who Fluffy is, he's Gabriel Iglesias. He is the fat and funny Hispanic comedian. He was so funny.
Was he good?
Yes, and I'm horrible with names, so you know this. I'm horrible with names. I've never remembered anybody's name the first time ever. This guy, Larry Omaha, comes out and does the second act. He's so funny I had to go pee. I mean, it was hilarious. Then you got Fluffy coming out after that. It was just great. So anyhow, enough about my shenanigans in Vegas.
Got a text from listener Kate. She said the scooter company will pay wranglers to go and pick them up, and then they get paid for picking them up by the company. The e-scooters.
So you just go around with your pickup truck and you grab all the scooters and you go collect.
The same guys who do the
shopping carts.
The shopping carts, because we are so good at that in this town.
Yeah,
nice place.
The Safeway is not within 4 miles of this cart. Why is this cart here?
Exactly.
Anyhow, we do have a gentleman in this studio who knows a little bit about politics, and I would love to talk to him about this. So we've got David Eppenheimer in studio. He is the Pima County Republican GOP chairman. How you doing, sir?
Yes, I am for today.
Today,
today.
Were you breaking news? What are we doing here?
No. It's every day is an adventure, an adventure in politics. So yes, it's great to be here. I just flew right into the door, and I'm ready to go.
Ready to rock and roll. How are we doing on this taking over the city with what we got going on right now with the city elections? How's that going?
With the city elections, well, we have three great candidates in wards 1, 2, and 4. We've got our candidates blocking on names since I'm on the air with you. In wards 1, 2, and 3, Williams. We've got Ewart Williams and Mike Hicks in 4, and our Sam Nagy in 1. And they're all campaigning very, very hard, and we have a very good chance, I think, in those wards to make a difference. It's going to the big challenge for us is the fact that we don't have a mayor's candidate. We had. two gentlemen that were interested in running for mayor. Sam Nagy was one, and Konarski, a man named Konarski, was the other, and they ran. They had to go out and get their petition signed, and they didn't get their signatures. So we had a choice to make as a party and as those fellows as candidates what to do since they didn't get their signatures for mayor. Well, Sam decided to go for Ward 1, so he filed for write-in for Ward 1 in the primary, and he got his signatures and qualified for the elections in Ward 1. And then we made a strategic decision at that point, because there were people that would have run for a write-in candidate for mayor. But we made a strategic decision that probably the best thing to do, because it, given the politics of the city of Tucson and the fact that we haven't had a Republican mayor in Tucson since Bob Walkup, and things were different then. And the city, the composition of Tucson voters has changed since then. That maybe the thing to do, since Ed Ackerley had announced he was running and had of course qualified for the ballot, that the maybe the best thing to do for the city of Tucson would be to run our council candidates strongly, and not run a mayor's candidate, but and not split the vote against whoever the Democrat was that came out of their primary, because the likelihood of a Republican winning in Tucson these days for mayor is slim to none. Although you want to run somebody, but it's slim to none. And Ed was in the race as an independent, and we can't endorse him because he's not a Republican, but we could not split the vote away from him against whoever the Democrat was that came out of the primary. I feel very strongly that with Rahina winning that primary, the choice is very stark and very clear to moderates in the city and to Republicans, of course, as to who they should vote for. And it gives Ed a path to victory, I think, with just two choices and a stark contrast of a very, very leaning candidate from the Democrats. Don't want to be throwing names out there at anybody, but she's very hard left. And she cost us the Grand Canyon University. And I think that I've told Ed, I think he needs to beat her around the head and shoulders for that. And an Ed Ackerley, who's a business person, very moderate, has right on all the issues for Tucson. And I think he has a path to victory.
Well, Ed certainly isn't. He's not the right-wing conservative Brooks brother candidate that you normally would put up there as a Republican, which is nice because he's like you said, he's a moderate. He's right down the middle. He's a lot like Mayor Walkup was. What Mayor Walkup had a unique position in the city of Tucson because he won at a time to where Republicans supported him, and they also supported Sheriff Dupnik, which was when I came in. Right at the tail end of that, in 2009, 10 years ago, I too had an issue with my signatures, and that's how I didn't get on the ballot in 2011, so that was good. But in 2009, ran city council, didn't need the 16% that you guys need now. The city, like you said, the makeup of the voter has changed. And I believe that for an independent or a Republican to win, they're up against that 65-35% split. So they need the 16%. They need the 16% swing. And I think Ed has a really strong chance to get that, provided that the Republicans in Ward 2 come out and vote for him.
Yes. Our mission right now as a party on the city side of the equation is to turn out the Republican vote, turn it out as a block, and we will accomplish three good things. We will get somebody or help get increase the chances that somebody other than Rahina Romero is the mayor of Tucson. We will defeat the Sanctuary City Prop 205, and we will give our city council candidates a chance And those are the three things that we need to do.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break because I know you've got a question for him. Hold that till after the break. It's 8:17 in the morning. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We've got David Eppenheimer. He is the Pima County GOP chairman. We've got a few questions about Sanctuary City. I do. And I know that Jonathan Hoffman has a question as well. So if you want to get on the conversation, give us a call. 520-790-2040. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Be right back after this. All righty, we're back. It's Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Sean McCluskey, Jonathan Hoffman sitting in for Christy Simone. Game of Thrones theme music, perfect for Pima County GOP.
I'm sure nobody recognizes that theme. Also, speaking of Game of Thrones, remember Queen Olenna?
I've never seen an episode.
No idea.
Oh, my God.
I know what you're talking about.
River Run. Okay, there's a major character who is played in Game of Thrones who is played by an actress named Diana Rigg. Earlier in the show, we played the theme from The Avengers, mm-hmm. who was starred by Patrick McNee and Diana Rigg. Same actress. So if you want to see
Circle of Life.
He's a complex individual.
If you
want to
see what Queen Olenna looked like 40
in the
years 60s, ago,
yeah.
It's worth checking it out. Check out the Avengers theme on YouTube, and you'll not only get the song, but you'll get the video of the opening of the TV show. Worth it.
You're the man, Jonathan Hoffman.
So, fun facts. Elvira turned 68 yesterday. If you see her in her current day picture, she's still smoking hot. Just saying.
Yeah.
So that's for all you guys out there. Go look up that one.
She might
have
had a little work, but that's
who
okay.
cares. So speaking of
birthdays, it's the 72nd birthday of the
Air Force.
It's the United States Air Force.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
posted
nice.
Earlier.
So
you had a question for Pima County GOP
I
Chairman
did.
David
Eppenheimer. We were
Eppenheimer.
Just talking about people getting out to vote and the problem for Republican candidates, especially a mayoral candidate, which is they're not at this this particular go around. There's no Republican candidate, but there is a challenge to Marino Romero with Ed Akrowy. But what's key to a lot of this is voter registration. And I was wondering, Dave, if you knew what the current ratio is, like Democrat to Republican registration in Pima County.
Yeah, so roughly, and these are rough numbers, we're outnumbered by the Democrats 2-1. And if you lump non-Republicans, which of course includes independents and PNDs, we call them, it's preference not disclosed, it's 5-1 in terms of a registration that is not Republican. So
5-1 for non-Republican and 2-1 Democrat Republican.
Democrat against Republican. So
interesting.
The city of Tucson has changed. It's with people coming in to the state and into Pima County from outside the state. They're bringing their politics with them, so it's not this isn't your mom's Tucson. It's different.
How's the Sanctuary City vote going to affect the election? Is it going to drive people out? Is it going to keep people home, both on the Republican side and the Democrat side?
Well, I think it's not going to keep people home. I think it'll drive turnout. And you know, the advantage or disadvantage of that, depending on which side you're on, is that it'll drive a voter turnout for the passionate against and the passionate for. And it's just a matter of how that falls out. It's a nonpartisan issue, and I want to stress that this is a nonpartisan issue. I mean, it can't become Democrats against Republicans. You have to look at it for what it means to the city of Tucson if it was to pass. All the gains that have been made to make Tucson better than it has been, to bring business to Tucson, to bring jobs to Tucson, to make Tucson a more safe community, all of those will be undermined if Sanctuary City, if Prop 205 passes. Matter of fact, Reverend Fife from Southside Presbyterian, I grew up a Presbyterian, so I actually have kind of watched this even when I didn't live in Arizona, when I lived in Kentucky. was an elder in my Presbyterian church. I was aware of Reverend Fife and what he started in Pima County in South Tucson on the sanctuary movement. And he has said that if Prop 205 is to pass, it will undo 40 years of his life's work to help and aid people who need help and aid that want to come to the United States. And if Reverend Fife says that, then this is a powerful statement against Sanctuary City. And that is a nonpartisan statement. It has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans.
Which is interesting because you have somebody who's put his whole life into this, and then he says it's going to unwind everything. Yeah. We have a mayoral candidate who is immigrant friendly, and we talked about it earlier. President Trump is not in favor of sanctuary cities. He's actually talked about withholding financial resources to those cities and states. It has a greater ramification than just something that's going to hit us locally, because we'll get hit by the state, we'll get hit by the feds, and then we have lawlessness.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point. That's the economic side of the argument against that. Certainly in strict funding for the city, I believe Regina Romero has come out against Sanctuary City, but when Prop 205, but when she does that, she always makes a caveat out of it that it's for the economic reasons of the funding for the city that the city will probably lose. That's one of the many arguments that certainly I think the state is going to withhold state shared revenues. And I believe that's someplace around $125 million. There's always the threat of federal funding being withheld. That may or may not be a factor, but I think the state funding is for sure, and that's straight out of the general fund. I mean that's $125 million a year, straight out of the general fund, and that this city can't replace that.
No, there's no financial way to even come close to it. They can't cut all the services and make up $125 million.
That's a budget buster.
Yeah.
And that affects public safety, that affects roads, that affects the entire city budget. Even though it's people have to understand, even though it's over a $1 billion budget, $125 million out of the general fund will cripple this city.
So other than what efforts are you guys out there trying to defeat this with?
Well, we're not working to defeat this as a party. We're going to get our vote out and we're going to get our base out. This is going to be a community nonpartisan effort to defeat 205. The business community is coming together with community groups. The mayor and council are against Prop 205. The mayor and council will be working with the business community and with the community groups all together to defeat Prop 205. It's bad. I've said before in
Yes, it is 8:35 in the morning. Ed Alexander with you, Christy Simone on a secret mission. So sitting in, Jonathan Hoffman, Sean McCluskey tomorrow with our special guest this morning, David Eberhammer of the Pimo GOP. Before that, if you missed it, U.S. drug czar Jim Carroll from 7 to 7:30 this morning. If you missed what he had to say about what's going on in our border down here that he's been seeing and who he's been talking to, check the podcast later on today, second hour of today's Wake Up Tucson on 9/18/2019.
Alrighty, we're back. It's Wake Up Tucson. Sean McCluskey, Jonathan Hoffman, like we mentioned. If you want to get on the conversation, give us a call, 520-790-2040. We were talking about Sanctuary City right before we left, then we got rudely interrupted, but it's okay.
Rudely. We all jumped out of our seats.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on, that was for sure.
Deep in conversation, and stupid 8:30 snuck up on us, but whatever. So we've got the obvious. We're at a deficit running in this election. How are you guys doing on fundraising to support your candidates, the three that you have running, and how are you doing on getting out the vote to get people to actually turn out and show up?
Very good in both counts. One of the biggest jobs a chairman has is fundraising. You know, the chairman is, even though you have a fundraising committee and a vice chairman that's dedicated to fundraising, the face of the party has to be chief fundraiser. And so I've been at that job very hard the last month to bring in funds specific for our city council campaigns. And it's been fairly successful. We're providing the signs for the Nagy Williams Hicks campaign. They're running publicly. You know, their faces on the same signs, and so we've been able to help with that, and we're working very hard on the financial side. In terms of getting the vote out, we've already have our Get Out the Vote, GOTV we call it, Get Out the Vote, GOTV committee working and coordinating what will be telephones and knocking on doors to make sure that Republicans fill out that ballot. As you know, and I hope your listeners know, this is an all mail-in voting situation here in the city of Tucson, and so you don't go to the polls, and there's almost a month in which to mail that ballot back. Ballots will drop on October the 10th, and then of course the final day. It's not voting day anymore. It's not election day. It's the last day to cast your vote is the first Tuesday in November. So you got just a little short of a month in order to cast that ballot, and we're going to be contacting every registered Republican within the city limits. It's about 60,000 of them to. Make sure they vote that ballot. And if they vote that ballot, some good things will happen.
So there's one key fact about all of this whole election nonsense that's going on in the city of Tucson, even though it's a mail-in. If you live in Ward 2 and there's no election in your ward, there you still get a ballot because it's a citywide election. So you get to vote for everybody, even though there's nobody specifically in your ward running.
No, we do have someone in Ward 2.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say 2. I would say 3.
Yeah, let's say 3. 3, 5, and 6. There's no candidate at all. They're
on their off cycle.
They're on their off cycle. Yeah,
so
If you live in the city and you're a Republican, you need to be voting for all three of the gentlemen running. We're hearing on the telephone people calling in or whatever asking questions. It's constant all day long at the office. People saying, when I get my ballot, can I vote? There's no one in my ward running. There's no race. Do I have anybody to vote for? They're actually asking that question. And the answer is, of course, it's a citywide election. Vote for all three of the Republican candidates. You can do that.
No matter where you live.
No matter where you live in the city. That's that whole war over ward only versus citywide elections. It is citywide. And so if you live in wards, 3, 5, or 6, cast that ballot. And if you live in 1, 2, or 4, cast a ballot for all three candidates because you can.
Yeah, and then you also have the opportunity to vote for Ed Ackerley because he is the independent. I know you can't say it, but I can, so I will for you. I know that Ed is a nice, good, conservative business owner. He's more moderate in his politics, but he's the best choice that's available. He will govern the city the way that it should be.
And what we're saying and going to say in our Get Out the Vote is cast a vote for mayor for somebody besides Rahina Romero.
And if you're like me and you really don't like the idea of sending your ballot in the mail, you can go drop it off on election day at a how many stations are there?
I believe there's seven ballot drop-off locations, they call them.
So you can make a statement by doing that if you don't want to send it in the mail, if you feel like you're not, that's not a proper way to treat a ballot, you can go drop it off on election day. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and those locations are already listed on the city's website. the city vote counting location, which is right off of Broadway, kind of behind the Greyhound bus station. That's also the biggest drop-off location. You can drop them off right there.
Now, is there any issue with multiple ballots being dropped off?
Oh, you mean ballot harvesting?
You can call it that.
Yeah, ballot harvesting is illegal. It's a state law, and you're supposed to only be voting or dropping off your own ballot. I believe there's a provision that you can drop ballots off for relatives or someone who's infirm and can't get out. But there's a limit on like two or three that you can drop off in those cases. Ballot harvesting is illegal, and that's the purpose of having poll watchers. We used to call them. Now that they'll be drop-off location watchers from both parties to watch out specifically to watch out for ballot harvesting.
So ballots go out October 10th. First day of the vote is technically October 11th if they get them that fast.
Yes, that's right. Now they probably won't get them till the 12th, maybe the 13th, but they hit the mail the 10th.
Now, if somebody wanted to get involved and help you guys out, whether it was phone calls, walking, or ballot harvest watching, how would they get involved?
They would get involved by calling our headquarters and talking to our executive director, Bobby Joe King. And that phone number, I think, is the easiest phone number in America to remember. it's 321-1492, in which Columbus sailed the ocean blue. So just 321, anybody can remember 321-1492.
Good number to have. Yeah. So go ahead and give them a call and help out if you can. If you want to, they're going to be there for you, and they're going to help change a city. So that's what I got. Jonathan, what do you got for them?
That's it.
All righty. David Oppenheimer, Pima County GOP Executive Chairman, thank you for joining us, sir. We do appreciate it. As always, get out there, get out the vote, help them out, and go to the website and check out Pima GOP tracks as well for what's all going on in the
right.
party.
PimaGOP.org, O-R-G.
Very good. Thanks again, sir. All right. Wake up, Tucson. It's 8:43 in the morning. We're going to take a quick break, our last one of the morning, and then we'll be right back after this. It's 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
This guy, Mr. Hendricks, passed away on this date in 1970. Saw him once, right here in Tucson.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Down at the roller rink or whatever the heck it was on Speedway.
Huh.
I saw Linda Ronstadt there. I saw the Yardbirds there. But Jimi Hendrix blew us away.
Yeah.
First of all, we didn't know what the hell was happening. We knew who he was, but we didn't know what to expect. And then at the end, he burns his guitar on stage.
Classic.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, you're like 10 rows away from him. You're all standing there like teens, like going bopping up and down. It was just so cool, man. Anyhow.
Dana Carvey kind of ruined this song for me.
Please explain.
Wayne's World.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Wayne's World ruined a lot for a lot of people. Who are we kidding? Anyhow, it's Wake Up Tucson. Sean McCluskey, Jonathan Hoffman sitting in for Christy Simone. He'll be out until Friday. And I'll be back
Friday, right?
He'll be back Friday. I'll be back Friday. Are you here tomorrow?
Yes.
You're here tomorrow?
I'm here tomorrow with
Barney, right?
With Barney
the Brain?
Barney the Brain Brenner.
Well, it'll be interesting to have you and Barney here tomorrow. Maybe you guys can talk about the hot mess in Congressional District CD2.
Mm.
You got all kinds of good stuff going out there. I'm getting rumors that...
Want to warm us up for that?
Well, you got the Brandon Martin's campaign kind of imploded, and I like Brandon. A whole lot of people quit. His website went dark. It says, we'll be back after this. And I'm like, ooh, that typically means either you're out of money or something else is going on there. And hopefully it's the money thing and not the something else thing. Because when a bunch of women just up and leave your campaign and they don't want to talk to you and don't do anything, that's kind of concerning. Then you have the idiot, what's his name? Jonathan Morgan. No, Joseph Morgan. Sorry. Jonathan Winchester, Joseph that. Morgan, same person. I was going Winchester, not Hoffman, because it is the brother and the cousin and the uncle and all of their fun right. stuff over there. But their campaign is all over the place. The kid's running for Congress, and he contradicts himself left and right. And then he starts this anti-sanctuary city effort, which is beyond me because it's Prop 205. It's not the sanctuary city. So we're talking about the Pima County GOP chairman. It's not the sanctuary city. It's Prop 205. So I don't know really what he's trying to do there, but your focus should be on the congressional, not on local. And I get all politics start and they stop locally. However, you're running for Congress. Act like it. He doesn't. So he needs to go away. You have Justine Wadzek, who's running that race as well. She's staying on a straight and narrow and going for basically the goal. She's trying to outraise Shay Stotts or something like that.
Tyrion's girlfriend? Oh, you didn't watch Game of Thrones?
No. Shay Stotts is he's the odds-on big money favorite choice. I don't necessarily think he might be the right choice. I think he needs to probably step down, but that's not going to happen because he's very well funded. So it'll be interesting to see what takes place there, and I'd love to see Barney's take on those guys because it's just a mess, and we're still a year away. So will anybody else get in the race? Will it be a 15-person candidate race, or will we stay with these three or four?
No, like you said, it's a year out, so a lot of things are going to shake out between now and then.
Well, February is typically the time when people jump off the couch and say, oh, I want to run for something, and I don't know why. And they have no clue how to do it. So here we end up with people like Morgan all over the place. It's just ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, and to continue along that theme of the city and everything else.
Don't look at me like that.
Rent control. Rent control passed in California last Wednesday.
What are you talking about?
Well, let me get there. So will of the people versus ruling the people. Will of the people is you send something to the ballot and the people strike it down or they pass it, kind of like Prop 205. We have the opportunity to say yes or no. Well, if we were to say no to Prop 205 and the city of Tucson came back, city council, which I would not be surprised if they did this, but if they came back and said, nope, we're going to be a sanctuary city, even though the voters said no. What took place in California last Wednesday was the state legislature came out and said they're going to pass rent control and limit the amount that you can increase your rent in the state of California. Not just a particular crazy San Francisco area.
Not a municipality.
The whole state. So what they did was they put, last November it was on the ballot and the whole state turned it down. They said, no, we don't want rent control. We want regular normalcy. We don't want rent control. The legislature came back, too bad, people. We don't care what you want. We're going to rule you. We're not going to govern. We're going to rule you, and we're going to tell you what you want. And they passed rent control. So I had an investor in town last Wednesday, and he was here specifically while the vote was going on because he wanted to look at his properties and look at a few more. He's selling his properties in California because of the rent control. And what's he going to do? He's going to come here to Tucson and buy more properties. So it's good for us because it's going to increase our sales. It's going to change our property over or get rid of our old slumlords and we'll get some new fresh blood in. And typically California investors are not bad people, but they don't live here. So that's right. My only concern is you got non-local control. But California kind of did it to themselves. Because they put rent control on where it says 5% annual increases plus inflation with a maximum of 10%. And this is set in stone for 10 years.
So the California legislature said, okay, we gave you a chance to do it the easy way and you blew it. So now we're going to do it the hard way.
And the hard way is against the will of the people. That's where I have a problem with it. It's like Portland. Portland does the same damn thing. And
that's
then you've got
why
El Paso.
Why did they, if they knew they were going to make it happen, why did they even run the
why'd you put
in
it to the
first
people?
Place?
Yeah. Why didn't you just take care of it last
year? Give them a chance to endorse you.
Well, it's kind of like, let's look at it this way here. State of Arizona, whether you're for it or against it, it's coming. That's what I'm going to preface it this with.
Right.
But we have a Republican-controlled state legislature, House and Senate. They're primarily Republican controlled. They're all scared to death to lose their seat. And that's the number one problem in politics. Every elected official gets elected, especially in a state where you got a 2-year election cycle, Congress and all that fun stuff. You have to start running for a re-election immediately. So you don't give a damn about what you're supposed to be doing. You're more worried about running for election.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here in the state of Arizona, we have too many Republicans that are afraid to lose their seat. Number one problem in politics. You're afraid to lose your seat. You ran for the wrong reason. You ran for a job.
Yep.
You didn't ran to serve. You ran for a job, you idiot. But what they're afraid to lose their job over is the fact that medical marijuana is with us here in the state of Arizona because the people voted for it. State legislature is handcuffed, can't change it.
Right.
So if they were smart, they would set parameters and they would legalize marijuana, control the funding, control the distribution of the money raised from it, give it to police and fire, and give it to schools. Makes everybody happy, right? Everybody says we underfund schools. Well, here's a way to fund the schools and control the situation. If not, it's going to go on the ballot. It's going to go to the people. The people are going to pass it, and you're going to be stuck again. The legislature's going to go, oh, I want to change that. I can't change it because I was too stupid to do anything about it because I was too scared to lose my seat. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right. And you're absolutely right because the legislature is not doing themselves any favors when they pass a ballot prop, which, as you mentioned, and this can't be emphasized enough, is that all ballot props now are effectively, if not by the letter, but effectively amendments to the Constitution because the legislature cannot change it. They can change it in minor ways if it advances the original blah, blah, blah. But basically, you're right. They can't touch it. And the only way that it can be changed is with another ballot prop.
You take it back to the people and you make the people change it. Good luck with that.
So we're really damaging the state here with this move towards direct democracy because that is not a good thing.
But it's not the right way to govern, especially when you can see the writing on the wall and you can see that it's coming. If you know that it's coming, get in front of it.
That's right.
Or get run over by it. And
exactly.
We're too stupid and we're Republicans and they're more worried, like I said, about controlling their seat and getting reelected and collecting the paycheck and the bennies and everything else that goes with being a politician rather than serving the people the way they're supposed to. And the prime example is look here in Tucson. Not one of those city council members give a damn about the people. They care about getting reelected. That's all they care about. Heck, it's so bad that we had one city council member. Now she wants to be mayor. She likes it so much. I mean, think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And her protege is going to take her place.
Power is addictive.
So you're going to perpetuate and continue the whole horribleness that she started.
For no reason except because she is where she is. Not because she's the most qualified or nothing. Just because I am.
Well, she's never signed the front of a check. She's only signed the back of a check. And you can't tell me how to run a company or run a government if you don't know how to sign the front of the check. You have to be able to figure out how to spend money logically, reasonably, and recover it and make it again.
Leverage it.
Yeah. I mean, look what the state did. On the state level, the state treasurer came out and she said, hey, we made $515 million or whatever it was this year in investments.
Right.
They were only set to make like 400 and something. So we got a surplus, $125 million. It's a beautiful thing. So it's good to have extra.
Yep.
They went through and she went through, Kimberly, I believe her name is. She went through and she itemized where all the money was going. $320 million education. Well, what are we going to do with the extra? Right away, the Democrats are coming out going, hey, we need to put more money in education. We're dumping 320. They want 470. There's never enough. But then again, you're a politician, so not you, them.
Yeah.
You wanted to be, I wanted to be. We gave up that dream.
God intervened in our behalf.
Whew, you know what, though? I mean, I have never been so thankful that I was not elected in 2011. I say it all the time. I'm glad that I got taken off the ballot. I'm really upset. I was upset at the time and was not thrilled about it. But hindsight, best thing that ever happened because I didn't get stuck. If I would have won, that would have been the most horrible thing in the world. Because I would not have been, I would have gotten mad over the fact that these people run the place like an asylum instead of a business.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a drug, because once you're in, you want more, and the only way to end it is to go cold turkey and step out.
Yeah, and I did that a little bit ago, and it was the best thing I did. Now I do food, but every now and again we sit down and we do this stuff, and we have fun with it. I like it. I mean, you know, what better way to vent and get off your frustrations and beat on a couple of local politicians, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's what they're there for.
They're too afraid to come on, so they can't come defend themselves. They're more than welcome to call in the number 790-2040. It's very simple. I'll put you on. Chris might not, but I will. Jonathan will. We're not afraid of anybody.
Sure.
So coming up later today, we have...
Bring it.
Oh, we have Zach coming up next, 9 o'clock, right?
Yep.
And then noon, we've got Bill Buckmaster. And then this afternoon, we're going home with Steve Rivera and sports. Tomorrow we've got Ryan Larson, Ron Arenas from Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling and Heating. And if you need anything, they're a great company. Give them guys a call.
They're my company.
Congressman Schweikert's coming out on tomorrow, 7:15. And we don't have a couple events too. Thursday, October 3rd, Adriana, birthday party, happy hour, Charo Vida, And then Wake Up Tucson Christmas Party, December 10th, Tango Verde Guest Ranch. If you want to go to either one of those two events, wutevents@gmail.com. Thanks again to Phil and Kate for the spectacular coffee that I didn't drink, but it smells fantastic from Brewed Coffee. They're up at 4960 Sabino Canyon and Snyder. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Jonathan.